Hello and welcome to the BSG Podcast. I'm Quinn, one of your hosts today. This is the first episode of our news segment. It is going to be news on Mondays, of course, and today is Monday, July 1st, and we'll be covering all of last week's news. The format's going to go like this. There's going to be no bullshit in the beginning. It's only going to be news, none of our opinions. And the later half of the podcast is going to be all bullshit, where all of our opinions and speculations and how we are personally impacted by the news comes out. The top stories of this week are that consuls write to Congress about how incoming China tariffs are going to impact consumers. They say about $1 billion more during the holiday season is going to come out of consumers' pockets because consuls are going to have to increase their prices if they're going to have to pay more for the China tariffs. Our next story, that's one of the top stories, is that auto battlers are taking over the gaming space. And if you don't know what they are, we'll talk about those in a little bit. And the last one is that EA potentially has 300 million accounts that were compromised. We'll go into that a little bit later.
And if you notice, he said we. This is your other co-host, Chase, at Bullshit Games here. If you want to talk to us about some other news articles we didn't touch on, you can reach us at BS Games Podcast. That is our Twitter handle. So let's get right into it, guys.
All right, for game releases of last week, we have Super Neptunia RPG, which is a 2D anime JRPG where the main character tries to regain her memory. We have The Sinking City, an investigative game where you try to find out what has possessed the Lovecraftian world around you while simultaneously trying to keep yourself sane.
And then we also have The Samurai Showdown, a fighting game series by SNK. That's the same people who made King of Fighters. We then have Monster Jam Steel Titans, a monster truck game with races, stunts, and trucks.
F1 2019 also came out, an F1 racing simulator with a new career/story mode. Soulscathe also came out, a procedurally generated VR dungeon crawling RPG.
Then we also have Heavy Rain coming out on PC, where it's a story-driven thriller game where your choices drastically affect how the game unfolds. Finally, the biggest game coming out this week is Super Mario Maker 2 for the Switch. It has over 100 built-in courses for a story mode, with a Metascore so far of 89. Okay, on to the news. Harry Potter Wizards Unite came out on June 21st, 2019, and so far, according to BGR and Hollywood Reporter, 400,000 installations and counting. Comparing it to Pokemon Go, Pokemon Go had 7.5 million installations in the first 24 hours. So not quite comparable. But moving on.
So auto battlers have been taking the gaming world by storm. I don't know if any of you have been paying attention to this, but there's been a lot of controversy and rising tensions in this gaming genre space. Originally, the genre started as a mod for Dota 2, which was called Dota Auto Chess, developed by Drodo Studios. Eventually, Valve approached Drodo Studios and asked if they wanted to make an actual game together that was based on the Auto Chess mod. Drodo Studios declined and actually said they were working on their own game just called Auto Chess. Auto Chess has not been released, and unfortunately for them, Riot Games and Valve have actually pushed out their own versions of Auto Chess. Riot Games with Teamfight Tactics, which is a League of Legends-based auto battler, and then Valve releasing Dota Underlords, which is the official auto chess game for Dota. Moving on to our next story, PUBG Story Mode possibly becoming its own game. Originally, Story Mode was going to be just that, a mode within PUBG, but now it's been given its own name. It's called Dead Space. It won't be a sequel to PUBG in any way, shape, or form, although it will be using some of the same maps, features, and typical things you would see in PUBG, so weapon types, etc. Ultimately, the goal of the new game would to give places players have seen a million times a bunch of new stories. So it'll give context as to why certain villages are where they are, or maybe why something is blown up in the game, etc. Currently, there's no release date, though. Gears 5 puts out a bold statement on their blog post saying that they're not going to have a season pass, they're not going to have gear packs, and all the DLC maps are going to be free. Essentially, it's this new move towards earnable content within games instead of paid-for content. All the actual cosmetics, though, will be purchasable within the store with no RNG involved. That means no loot boxes. If you see something you want, you can just pay for it with money or with in-game currency. One thing they did add, though, was boost purchases so you can get more experience faster as well as earn more in-game currency faster and potentially lock more things more quickly. The Steam Summer Sale started last week and goes on until July 9th. Originally, it was going to be July 3rd, but Steam actually had to apologize because their Steam Grand Prix, which is the minigame for the Steam Summer Sale, is too complicated for users to understand what's going on. So they apologize, and now the Summer Sale is going on for a little bit longer, which is nice. If you don't know, the Steam Grand Prix is just a minigame that allows users to group up together and potentially win games off of their wish list. Users had thought, though, that if they won games off their wish list, it would pick a random game. So users would start axing games off of their wish list in a hope to just get the one game they wanted. Unfortunately, this did a lot of bad things for Steam because ultimately people's wish lists just disappeared to the top one, two, or three games that people wanted. Steam solved this problem by saying that the top game on users' wish lists will be the one selected. So your wish list can still be 50 games long, but the top one will be the one you get for free. If you want to look into the Summer Sale games themselves, you can check out my 11 Best Summer Sale Games episode, which will be coming out in a day.
As Quinn mentioned earlier in the podcast, China imports will be increased due to taxes by the U.S. government, and could potentially take 1/4 of the U.S. families outside of the video game system market in the holiday season. The reason being is that consoles are made in China, and those shoppers who do buy new game systems will collectively have to pay $840 million more dollars during the holiday season. In response to this, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft wrote a letter to the government explaining how this tariff will affect customers, as well as putting thousands of jobs at risk. So Epic founder Tim Sweeney says that having exclusive games on your store is the only strategy to change the 70-30 split between developers / publishers and storefronts respectively. So 70% of the profit is to the developers and publishers and 30% to the storefronts. Epic hopes to change this archaic system in saying that they're only going to take 12% of the revenue and give the rest to publishers and developers.
Moving on to another big story this week was that EA potentially has 300 million accounts exposed. This is a new method of hacking, apparently, that has caused this, and instead of gathering usernames and passwords from users, the breach allows hackers to break directly into users' accounts using a single sign-on token. A similar hacking method was surfaced in Fortnite earlier this year. The method is called pilfering instead of phishing, taking the token without user input compared to needing a user to put in information on another site or through a malicious application. At the moment, it isn't sure whether the players' accounts are fully compromised or not, as EA was alerted to the vulnerability before it could have been exploited.
Finally, to end the news, Twitch creators now have the ability to create exclusive subscriber streams. So what does that mean? Creators can create exclusive streams for only subscribers, and non-subscribers will only be able to see a preview and will have to pay in order to watch it.
And that ends the no bullshit section of the news today. We'll be back in a little bit and get ourselves a drink of water and maybe take a breather and then come back with all of the bullshit. We'll be talking about all these stories and our opinions, what we like, what we didn't like, things we're worried about, and things we are enjoying. Talk to you in a little bit.
And welcome back to the second half of the segment. This is going to be our opinions and bullshit.
We got some water. It was a little bit of a rough ride, but it was our first go. How do you feel, Chase?
Oh, I felt like shit. I got stuck on one of them for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, it might sound smooth, but honestly, we edited a lot out. So.
He edited the shit out of it.
Yeah.
I'll learn how to do it later. Okay, well, let's get to what we're going to talk about. So, during this week, this first week of looking into news, I was looking into specifically Harry Potter Wizards Unite, and I was confused where they got their sources from, at least for some of them. So it is legitimate that, you know, the game came out, it had a certain amount of downloads, But I was getting some like weird numbers. And some people sometimes were making sources to another article. So like the funniest article I ever read was this guy made an article about another article.
Right. It was just articles linking to articles. You know, yeah. Like there was no concrete sources besides what was that website called?
BRG.
No, not BRG. The
Forbes. Hollywood Reporter, they did it too. Forbes was most.
No, the results website. What was the results website called?
Oh, let me check.
Something Tower.
Oh, where did it all go in? Yeah, so eventually it came to what was known as Sensor Tower. Sensor Tower was the one who originally
Sensor Tower, there we go.
Yeah. Right. And so if you look at Sensor Tower's information, like you can go and put in, like, oh, I want to look up how many downloads this game has. For iOS or Android, and you find out that it says only 80,000 downloads for Harry Potter Wizards Unite on Apple, and then for Android it was 20,000.
Right. So the issue was we were looking at this story trying to figure out, okay, where do they get their sources from? And then each article would just link to another article rather than an actual source of news. And then when we looked into it on our own, it looked as if the numbers everyone was touting were incorrect. Ultimately, though, it didn't really matter because the news was that the Harry Potter Pokemon Go ripoff, in a way, not ripoff, but it's the same people. They're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to make another success. The Harry Potter Go version
was not as good.
Wasn't even close to the success of Pokemon Go. Didn't even touch like a tenth of the numbers.
That being said, the game does look good. I did see it, and my wife plays it. So it is fun, but just, you know, the amount of hype and like desire for it was nowhere near.
Yeah, the widespread adoption isn't there. It is just a fun Harry Potter game, I guess.
Yeah. We do have reason behind why these numbers are like 400,000 installations rather than like 80 and 20. We're not sure yet, so we can't say this for certainty, but we think it came based on another game that came out last year was Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, I think it was called. And that game had 400,000.
The idea was that we have an idea as to why all these articles have incorrect numbers.
Yeah. First of all, they're all based on one another. So that's the first problem.
Right. They're all based on one another, which is why they're probably incorrect. But the main reason being that they're using the analytics from the wrong Harry Potter game.
Now, we can't say that for 100% certain because they may pay for Sensor Tower and get more
information. They might have more information than we do, but as a general source. Citizen...
As a source, like, can you actually see this? No, you cannot.
Right.
So. Shit.
Hopefully we never have to talk about it at Harry Potter again.
I hope so, unless another Harry Potter book comes out.
It's funny because ultimately this is like the reason for this format is that we find news that is, you know, not bullshit. And there's so many articles out there that link to other articles and all that stuff. And ultimately, it's just people eventually inputting their opinions. And it just becomes this mess of cloudy information that no one really knows what's going on. So I'm proud of us that in the first episode, we took extra time to figure out what the hell was going on with this Harry Potter game. So props to us.
Yeah, I will say that... I mess up like that all the time when I was first like sending articles to you, Quinn.
Right. Chase, goddamn, he sends me articles and then he doesn't even read them. He just sends me them because he likes the title and he thinks I would like the title. And it's like, what?
I did read the one I sent you recently about the fat guy. It doesn't matter that he's fat.
I think it was a joke.
It was a satire, but I think I think it is a legitimate person.
Right. The article Chase sent me was that the problem of being too good at fighting games to play with your friends, but not good enough to play competitively.
Oh, man. And that's exactly what it feels like for Rocket League for us.
I mean, do we have friends?
That's true.
I don't know. Okay. But yeah, it was definitely a satire piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you get the entirety of the piece with just the title, which is, I don't know, it's nice, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those few that you can actually just read the title. Anyways, you want to move on to...
Just here, basically, this opinion section is just us talking about specific articles and maybe our time with them. Like Chase mentioned, having an interesting time with its Harry Potter article, but also how we feel about certain things. And I feel at some point we should talk about the tariff situation. I don't know if we want to talk about that a little bit later, but for now I'm going to talk about the Epic versus Steam debacle. And I know we've been talking a lot about PC in this podcast, but you know, it just tends to, there's a lot of PC news, and that's the space that a lot of people are in. I'm in the PC space. I also had a console. I had a PS4, but I sold it, so I'm more dedicated to PC, so I'm sorry if it's more PC heavy. But ultimately, these big shifts in the PC space do have an impact on the gaming industry. So Epic Games versus Steam. Epic's main point of contention with Steam is that Steam takes 30% of all sales from developers, which is egregious. It's honestly so bad. But Epic's solution is that they're going to only take 12% from publishers. And because Epic Games owns the largest game in the world right now, which is Fortnite, they have the money and the manpower behind their service to do things like that, to take less money from developers and then use the money they earn from Fortnite to actually purchase games exclusively for their platform. So you got games like Satisfactory, Borderlands 3, which got a lot of controversy, World War Z, Hades. Like, there's so many games that are exclusive to the Epic Games Store, which is causing a little bit of tension. And it's hard to know which side to be on as a gamer, because ultimately, you don't want to have to deal with all these platforms at one time, especially just, it's more of a PC thing, but you don't want to have Uplay for Ubisoft games, Origin for EA games, Epic Games Store for exclusive and Epic games, Steam for just all the plethora of Steam games, GOG for CD Projekt Red's platform. Like, there's just so many platforms, and it's causing a little bit of an issue. And one of the people, or you can continue. Sorry, I'm just keep talking.
I just want to make one point of contention. I mean, it's harder for console people when this happens, when you have these exclusive games and then people have to buy other consoles. A lot easier with PC people. Yes, it is annoying that it has to come on multiple different browsers, essentially, or software. But I mean, we just have to click a button. I'm just making an argument here. Like, this is the other side of the argument. I don't like it because I like to have everything in one place. And probably what's going to happen is that there's going to be money being made where there's a software where it just takes everything and then puts into one spot. Like, you know how you can just put on your PC the button to say, I want to play Destiny, and you just click on it and go straight to the game. Like, it would be nice if
so there's going to be a software that manages all these other launchers.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you don't have to physically click the button. Maybe it just runs in the background on like a lower amount of space, and then you can just play the game, which would be actually really nice if this is how it's going to be in the PC
but
gaming
industry. That's totally fine if you're into single player experiences. But one of the main complaints between Steam and Epic is that players feel that Steam is a more robust service for the community. It has better chat, better game invitation, better workshop, better everything community-based lives on Steam. Epic has none of that. And so it's essentially
robbing players.
But they might get better at it. What?
Epic might get better at it. All they have to do is
emulate
Steam.
Ultimately, it is going to get better. Of course, it's going to get better. But at the time right now, it is not. And what it's doing is it's causing potentially friend groups to separate from each other, because now you have to have Epic exclusive friends. And the Epic, like I said, the Epic Game Store doesn't support things like voice chat. It's just frustrating for a lot of people. Now, I particularly don't care in a lot of ways, because I'm not going to buy Borderlands 3. I'm not going to buy these games that are on the Epic Store. Not because I dislike Epic, but just because they're not... That's not where I get my games. Just like I'm not going to get God of War on PS4.
Except for Rocket League.
Well, Rocket League was purchased by Epic, but you can your Steam copy still will work. So.
For now. We don't know. They could change it at any moment. They could just say...
Well, then my favorite game will be dead.
If you don't know this, listeners, our favorite game of all time, and it's just because like that is the game we go to, is Rocket League. It's a car soccer game.
At the moment, Rocket League is the bee's knees. It is the best game out there.
It is so easy to start. It's just, and it's easy to get off as well. They're only like 5 minute long.
5 minute long games. You can improve a lot over a period of time. It's rocket cars and soccer. What's not to like?
Now it is officially owned by Epic. They purchased Psyonix. And so
the company.
So this is just like, you know, you can input your game. But the point is that this is a game that affected us. And that it is now owned by Epic. So what does that mean? It could possibly mean that later that they'll take it off of Steam and you have to play it through the Epic launcher or something like that.
So it has been announced that Epic will remove Rocket League from the Steam store at some point.
But not now.
And they haven't talked about whether or not if you own the game on Steam, will you still be able to play? And will you be able to play on Steam servers or will you be able to play on Epic servers somehow? That hasn't been talked about, but...
They did talk about it, but they said for now.
Right. They did talk about it, but there's no definite, concrete, this is what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of up in the air at this point. And this is the thing, is that Epic has a lot of opportunities to do really good things with the games it's purchasing. It could do so many good things with the money and power behind the Epic team. It's just a matter of figuring out, is Epic a good company or not? I mean, the thing is, we have EA, not everyone, but a lot of people dislike EA and their business practice against consumers. Ubisoft also has made some questionable things and made games that are not very good and charging users a ton of money for them. So
yeah,
it's
like
just
one of the issues
figuring
with
out
Epic.
If Epic is good or not.
Yeah, one of the issues with Epic was that, like... they fire people. This was like some weeks ago. They fire people if they don't meet the demand of how many hours they want, which you think, well, of course you have to meet the hours, but they don't ask this because they can't, like, legally, but the general consensus is that they have to work over 70 hours a week. Some have to work over 100 hours a week, or they essentially get dropped from Epic for making games.
So this is actually just a common issue within the games.
This is the gaming industry in general, but this was like, this is big. Like, this is what came up a couple of weeks ago or so. Someone coming up and talking about it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure we'll probably do a Wednesday topics-oriented episode on just the games industry practices and how shitty they are for people trying to make it in them, especially because if your games are your passion, you're going to keep wanting to pursue making games, but ultimately you're just gonna get burned out and treated like dirt.
Yeah, you're not gonna have a life if you're in the gaming industry.
Yeah, your life is going to be within the Unreal Engine 4 or whatever,
or
just
Unity.
Making or Unity or something, and you're never gonna see the light of day, and you're never gonna be able to play games you like. It's gonna be questionable. Moving on to the next thing, I don't know if you're done with this topic, but I was going to move on to the next thing. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, yeah. Let's go on to the... You want to go on to the Twitch exclusivity?
Yeah, let's talk about the Twitch exclusive subscriber streams. This is my initial reaction to it, but this is essentially the model for the camming industry, which is pornography, live porn, right? Like people streaming themselves naked, jerking off, whatever, having sex. This is the same model. If you stay in a camming stream, right, and the person on the other end, male or female or in between, if they say like, hey, you know, pay me a certain amount and we'll go into a private session here and I'll treat you right.
Yeah.
I'll get naked and all this other stuff. And that's very interesting because Twitch has been criticized for a number of years of allowing sexually questionable content onto their site. They'll allow people to, mainly females, they'll allow females to wear like bikinis and dance in front of their webcam and have nothing to do with games or, I guess, question, like, quote unquote valuable content. It will just be eye candy for the most part. Mm-hmm. And
which is hard to regulate, because
it's hard and it's not hard. There are very clear examples of Twitch allowing inappropriate content to maintain and sustain on their site, and there have been like cross references of like, well, this person did this and it wasn't allowed, but they still back this person who's doing the exact same thing.
It might have to also do with how much money they give to Steam and if they're partners or not with it.
Not Steam, Twitch.
Sorry, Twitch. That's what I meant.
Yeah. So there's that sort of thing too. Is it like a monetary thing? Another questionable thing is that people think that Twitch employees actually, like Twitch employees with some say, allow females they like to continue to do the things they do. Essentially, just they like watching X, Y, and Z girls dance in their bikinis, so they're going to let them continue to do that in a place where they can view them. But the thing I'm concerned about is that with these subscriber streams, it has the potential to go from, all right, I'm just going to dance in front of the camera, to, all right, I'm going to sit here until you guys start subscribing. And when we get some subscribers, I'm going to switch to this subscriber-only stream where I'm going to dance in front of the camera, now incentivizing their behavior.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was saying. I mean, that wasn't exactly what it was saying. It was going more for the holistic approach that, oh, yeah, maybe right. We'll do like a large multiplayer session with you listeners with only the subscribers. Because obviously, right. If you're a big-time streamer, you might have hundreds of thousands of people watching you, and right. You're going to be like, oh, for the people who are subscribing to me, I'm going to do this, it's not Fortnite, but whatever has 100 people.
Or like Fortnite or whatever, whatever it may be.
Whatever you can put a large group of people together to play a game multiplayer wise.
Or even just like, hey, I'm going to show you the behind the scenes process of the stream, but it's only going to be for subscribers. There you go.
Yeah. So some of it is positive, in some ways, but it's interesting that it's, you know, well, it makes sense that it's creator started, that the creator has to do this. Do you think a lot of creators will be changing to this format, or do you think?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, cause this is more, it incentivizes them more for sure.
Yeah. It allows them to put up a preview of their content that is, let's say, juicy, and then incentivizes people to actually subscribe to that content. Now, I think it's going to, time will tell if this is actually a good tactic or not, because I think Twitch and lots of other social media content-based sites like YouTube, etc., Instagram, it's not so much the tools you have available, but which tools get the most views, which tools get the most revenue. So this is a good tool. It might show that this tool really ups up people's subscriptions by allowing, basically giving subscribers more benefits. Or we might see that it actually takes you off of the live page so people can't actually find you, right? Because now you're stuck in a subscriber stream and you're not free to everyone, so you have less people watching you. And then potentially you're making less money.
Yeah, because one of the things that I like doing, like I did not immediately, like I have some subscriptions to people, specifically the free one. But what I do is I watch.
So you follow, the Twitch Prime subscription.
Yeah, the Twitch Prime subscription. And what I did is I watched them for a while, like months. And right. Then I started subscribing to them.
Right.
Okay. Which if I had not seen all that content, I probably would never have subscribed to them in the first place.
Right. You need to get invested with free content before you think of like putting any money towards them. Or at least that's how a lot of people operate. So it'd be interesting to see, like, a preview doesn't give you that month of connection to that person.
Exactly.
Right? You know, it's like how is that going to, unless you really want to see a booby streamer, how is that going to impact you at all? Like, it's not going to, if I see Ninja, a preview of Ninja playing Fortnite with subscribers, that's not going to make me want to go subscribe. What would make me want to go subscribe is watching him and investing in who he is and then putting money towards that.
Yeah. At least that's our thoughts.
Right, that's our take should on it, be. Okra. That's the bullshit coming out of my mouth.
This
right
is
now
the opinion, remember.
Right.
Okay.
Finally, let's go on to the tariffs and how purchasing a PS4 might be best to do right now, or a PS5, or well, those aren't out, but you know, it might be best to purchase consoles sooner than later, just because $840 million of the holiday season doesn't sound like a good number.
Let's just give you guys an idea of like how the U.S. gaming industry works. It is like the biggest platform for entertainment. I believe I can say that even without looking it up.
No, yeah, you don't have to. It's like at least 5 times bigger than movies.
Yeah, and that was the biggest years ago. But now it's video games. And right now they make 40. So in 2018, they made $43.4 billion for the U.S. Just for the U.S. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when you decide to make these tariffs, that means that you're going to be potentially losing money for the U.S. gaming industry. Or essentially...
No, I don't even think potentially. I think it's going to cost the consumer more money. And like you said, it's going to leave 25% of the market won't be able to buy consoles in the holiday season.
I have to say it could. You know, you might still get like, well, that may not be the case. Might be only be a tenth. And then if that's true and there's still lots of consumers buying it still, it won't make that much of a difference. But yes, like based on some statistics where they did some models saying like, here's the threshold of people who can't buy, it'll probably be a quarter of the people not being able to buy consoles because they're made in China. So yeah, newsflash, guys. All your consoles are made in China, and it's going to be more costly.
Yeah. Well, a potential to be more costly. I mean, it is interesting to see Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft like teaming up to say, like, hey, this is not going to be good. Like, all those kids in the suburbs playing on their Xbox, yeah, they're not going to be able to do that next year if we have to increase the part prices by a lot.
It'll be interesting to see, like, if this continues for PS5, how the prices are going to change, you know, as new consoles start coming out. Because one of the things that at least I feel is that the trend is you can't pay more than about $500 for a new console. When the PS3 came out, it was about $600, if I recall, back then. And when that came out, it was far too costly. And so they dropped the price. And it, just FYI, in general, when people sell consoles, they lose money. So when companies sell consoles, they lose money on it. And the reason they're doing that is in hope to buy the games where they make profit.
Right. Also, it's just the manufacturing costs of like a first run of consoles is really expensive because it's pretty much
it's all new.
You're making things that have never been made before, so the costs are pretty darn high. And like Chase said, they're selling it at a loss in hopes that they can regain all that money through selling games. And especially nowadays, since a lot of games are just digital, they're making more money there than by selling a physical disc. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how things unfold. We'll probably have another news update on this situation as time goes on.
And just to add a little bit more clarity to like how much this affects, like, and this is Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft's numbers. They said directly and indirectly, this is going to affect over 220,000 people who are employed. So I said earlier that it was thousands. That is directly 220,000 is combining those, because you have people who are like lawyers for the gaming industry who do not directly are part of it, but they are fighting third party
or even just or even just like a GameStop employee. He's technically like retail. He's not in the game industry, but he might not have a job just because consoles aren't selling.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to see how this happens. I mean, this is like most things, you know, whenever the U.S. puts a tax or something else, there's always going to be a fight for it. I'm interested to see if this is going to happen or not.
Well, the main thing is that there are going to be tariffs on imports from China, 100%. The question is if consoles can get off of that list.
Yeah.
The fight is to get consoles off of that list so they stay tax-free. Not tax-free, but they aren't taxed reduced. Extra.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting thing to talk about in the future as it comes up in the news.
Right. Well, we just want to thank you guys for listening. I think we're wrapping up right about now. Those were our bullshit opinions of the news this week, and that was the news. So hopefully that was useful in some respect. If you have any opinions of your own and you want to tell us, you can tweet us at BS Games Podcast on Twitter. We'll respond. Chase will respond to you, no doubt. I will maybe respond to you.
I will be the response guy.
Chase's job is somewhat Twitter handler, man.
Just because I have it like grafted to my...
Right. Chase actually uses Twitter. I don't really use any social media, so that's why Chase will respond to you. Or at least he'll tell me to respond to you. We'll respond to you. Just send us your opinion, send us your questions, send us your comments, tell us we're stupid, tell us we're cool. I don't care. Leave a review on the podcast. That would help so much if you could do that. Tweet us at BS Games Podcast. Do everything. We are here.
And then don't forget that this Wednesday we'll be having our discussion section. So listen to that. Do you know what our
this
next
Wednesday
discussion
we'll
is?
Be talking about E3, our impressions and things we're excited about. Also, do not miss my top 11 games on the Steam Summer Sale, which will be coming out tomorrow. And anything else, Chase?
Nope, I think that's it. Well, guys, we'll see you next time.
See you soon.